Praise the Lord, everyone. And once again, I welcome you here now to the Word of God. And we are going to open our Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter to begin with. And I'd like to pray and ask the Lord to help us to understand His Word today. Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to Thine almighty throne, humbly beseeching Thee, O God, that Thou wouldst search our hearts and strengthen us and help us to receive Thy Word, that Thou wouldst give us ears to hear, O Lord, for we know that without Thee we can do nothing. And O Lord, in Thy mercy and in Thy grace, I pray that Thou wouldst move upon us by the power of the Holy Ghost, that we might hear Thy Word and believe and embrace Thy promises and lay hold upon eternal life. O Lord, all glory be unto Thee, all worship, all praise, all honor. For, O Lord, Thou hast done all things well. Now I pray that Thou wouldst help us, that Thy Word would inspire us, quicken us, make us alive, help us to rise to the challenges that are in this world. O Lord, to oppose all of the apostasy and all the powers of darkness with a glorious gospel that would shine from us. O Lord, move upon us that we might live, that we might rise up and do Thy will. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. For I now come against every devil, every unclean spirit, and every force of darkness, every hindering power. I break every hex, vex, and curse. I come against everything that would oppose Thy Word, Thy people, Thy kingdom. O Lord Jesus, give us victory now. Let the enemy be smitten once again. Let him be driven far from here. And let the evil one have no power over us at all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That taken care of, we'll begin in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to call this message, put a title on this message today. We're going to call it The Two Mysteries. The Two Mysteries. And of course, when I use the word mystery, a lot of things might register in your mind. Mystery is something that isn't understood. You just don't know about it. That's what makes it a mystery. Things hidden, things unseen. But there are two kinds of mysteries we find in the Word of God. And it's interesting to note, first of all, that in the Old Testament, you never find the word mystery, not one time. You do find it in the New Testament. In two different, entirely different contexts. We're going to start in here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. An apostle is one sent forth by the will of God. I wonder how many preachers are really out there by the will of God today. I wonder how many are called and how many are sent and how many just got up and went. But Paul here says, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's writing this letter, bringing forth this message to the church, people just like us, except they lived long ago. That means this is our mail. If you've been born again of the water and the Spirit, if you've repented of your sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, this letter is to you. You see, if you look at the Bible, it's not written to everybody. Epistles are letters sent to people who have already received salvation. Well, amen. So this letter is to us way down here in the far end of the timeline, just prior to the return of the Lord. You know, and as I stand here and preach to you this morning, I fully realize, and I do this every time I get up here, this may be my last opportunity to preach the gospel. This could be it. This could be the last time. The Lord is coming soon. You and I never know when we're going to check out. And so I take it very seriously. And I feel it to the depth of my heart and soul. And I probably shouldn't even have to say that, because if you can't tell that, it doesn't do any good to say it. I'm just saying that this is something that I take very, very, very seriously. Amen. And I know there are a lot of people out there that wish I weren't here. But the Lord has given me messages, continues to do so. And I'll keep delivering them as long as He gives me the strength to do it. But I do know, and I'm fully aware of the fact, that we have a lot of enemies, which is a good thing. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. And so the Word of God tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Amen. So here the Apostle Paul is beginning his letter by saying he is called of God, sent forth by Jesus Christ, and this is written to the saints. The saint is a born-again believer living for God. Usually when you say saint, they have that Catholic understanding or definition of a saint. You know, where you have to die first, and then the Pope and whoever else works on that makes you a saint. Now, with all due respect, isn't that downright stupid? Because if you're not a saint while you're living, you'll never be one after you're dead. No matter what caliber you are, they can't canonize you. Well, here the Apostle Paul is talking to people who have come into contact with and gone into a spirit of obedience and became recipients of the power of the blood of Jesus to save their souls. And he says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." You know, the ones people forget to count. Spiritual blessings, which are the best kind, in heavenly places in Christ. If you want to be spiritually blessed, you must get to that heavenly place in Christ. We find that in worship. We find that in prayer, in the depth of worship and in the depth of prayer. And most people just skim the surface. Folks, it's time, it's high time that we bear down in prayer, that we reach out to the Almighty God and cry out to Him with a desperate heart, because these are the last of the last of the last days. And everything out there is evil. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Every enterprise of man, every institution, everything that is going on is nothing more than a big, gigantic con. Everything from your educational system to the system of governance, all the different systems of governance, all the little pinwheels coming off the big Illuminati, all the things that are going on in the business world, in the banking industry, everything out there is a lie and a cheat and a con. All of it, 100% lock, stock, and barrel. All of it. No matter how they smile and how well dressed they are, watch out for those guys. Huh? Where is the genuineness? Where is the character? Where is the honor, the dignity? All those words have lost their meaning. Because we live in a society that has been taken over and seized upon by Satan himself. These are the final days, folks, and that's why it's so confusing out there. In fact, one could say that this entire world is running, particularly this country, is running on a mystery. Mystery. And I'll explain that in more depth. Because God also has a mystery. The difference is, God makes His mystery known to the people He calls. The world is entering into a vortex of an ever-increasing mystery of a different kind. And we were in that. We were lost in that, being pulled into that, until the Lord made known to us His mystery and the mystery of His will. For you see, the Lord calls His people out of this darkness of this world, and the darkness of this world gets darker and darker and darker. You and I, at one point in time, were unable to receive the mystery of God and understand it, that it would be a mystery no more. It isn't that God desires to hide things from people. People are not in a condition to receive His glorious salvation until a few things begin to happen to them. Now, I'll explain that also as we go through the Scripture. And so here the Apostle Paul tells us of the heavenly places in Christ. And then he says in verse 4, according as He... Now I want you to watch these words, because I'm going to tell you that you and I have no power to do anything to obtain salvation, nor do we have any power to maintain it. It is all by the grace of God. According as He hath chosen us. I think the church world has a few things backwards, folks. These ministers get up and they say, okay, I'm going to give you the gospel, and they tell the story and so forth. And then they say, how many of you want to receive the Lord? Raise your hand. Huh? Every head bowed, they say, and every eye closed. Now, how many want to receive the Lord? And then they count the decisions for Christ and say that they were saved by the raising of that hand. Doesn't work like that, folks. That's like the lifeguard sitting on the beach up in his big chair, you know, and there's somebody out there going down for the second time, and he puts his hand up, and the lifeguard sits in the chair and says, I see that hand? It's still going down! According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He knew you, intended to call you thousands of years before you existed. Yet you existed in His mind. And He knew you. He also knows all of those babies that are aborted out there that are being butchered by our government. You might say, by our government? Yeah. In excess of 45 million of them. You talk about a Holocaust. Huh? It's going to be answered for, folks. There's going to be a lot of fuel for that lake of fire. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Huh? Holy? What does holy mean? It means separate. It means set apart. It means we don't blend in. It means we don't commingle with the world and yield our heart to the systems of it. It means we are different, are made different by God, and can never involve ourselves, heart, soul, mind, and strength, with the powers of Antichrist. We are called to be separate, holy. Amen. What is the world calling for? Blend in. We're all one. Our president recently stood up and said that the God of Islam and the God of Christianity are the same. He said, we all worship the same God? That's quite a mystery, isn't it? It's really a mystery to me how people can be as ignorant as they are and be so duped and conned and deceived as they are. But then again, I remember that Satan has a great mystery that is at work and has been working for quite a long time. And he works under the cloak of that mystery and in darkness. Let's read on. So we are told here that God hath chosen us from the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. He did it according to the good pleasure of His will. It wasn't you raising your hand. It was the Lord having His hands and feet nailed to a cross and foreknowing you and calling you. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. We weren't accepted, but He made us accepted. He became the atonement. He became the sacrifice. He brought us into a place of acceptance. So it isn't whether or not you accept the Lord, it's whether or not God has accepted you. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Here it is, folks. Here's the first mystery. Remember, the title of this message is The Two Mysteries. And we'll refer to this first one several times before we refer to the second one. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Where do we find us in that? Think about it now. Let me read it again. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. It looks like He did it all. We didn't have anything to contribute, did we? How much of our own goodness did we blend in to enhance our salvation? The Bible says that all of our own righteousness, the best you've got, your righteousness, all of your own, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. It's worth nothing. And what He has and what He did is worth it all. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and are on earth, even in Him. You know, some of our family's up there already. Isn't that right? And some of us are here, but it's the same family. You know what separates us right now? This veil of flesh. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I show you a mystery. For we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and we shall all be changed. This corruption must put on incorruption. Amen. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, His purpose, not mine, His, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Do you see all the times it's mentioned here? His will, His purpose, His doing, what He wanted, His good pleasure. And what He wanted with us, I don't know, but He does. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. You hear the word, you believe the word, and things begin to happen. Now I can go out there and preach the word to all kinds of people, or I could preach it in here. And there are those that receive it and those that don't. There are those that can and those that can't. I'm going to tell you something. There is a mystery in the kingdom of God, and there is a mystery of iniquity in this world. Those really are the two mysteries. And you can't understand either one until they both are revealed to you from heaven. Man can never discover or find or locate the truth of God's Word, the wonders of salvation. They have to be revealed from on high. Revealed. Revealed. You didn't find it. You didn't find anything. You didn't discover anything. God revealed it to you. And the reason He reveals His Word is because when people come to a place of repentance, He'll call. And when people repent, remember Moses when he was out there in the wilderness? And God first called him. The Bible says there was a burning bush. We've got one of those for president right now. There's a burning bush! And I'll tell you what, if he doesn't repent, all the asbestos underwear in the world's not going to help him. But there was a burning bush in the wilderness, and God called to Moses from the bush. He called to Moses. Moses! Moses! And then the Bible says, Moses said to himself, I will now turn aside and see this great sight of this bush that burns and is not consumed. He kept watching it burn, but it wasn't consumed. Ordinarily, things are reduced to ashes. This just kept burning. And God didn't call to him until something happened. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight of the bush that is burned and is not consumed. Now listen to this. It says, when God saw that Moses turned aside to see, then he called to Moses. How many times is the gospel brought forth and is preached, the power of God comes down, and people don't bother to turn aside to see? Once you do, once you call or come to God's call and you repent and rise up to fight the enemy, then He will give you something called discernment. Do you know why so many people don't understand really much of anything at all? They don't fight the devil. If you actively fight the devil, God gives you a gift called discerning of spirits. It's given to everybody who fights the enemy. Who fights him in prayer, who fights him with witnessing, fights him with reading the scripture, in song, all these. When you are fighting the devil, God will give you a special gift called discerning of spirits. We sometimes call it discernment. Once you have discernment, you can receive the revelation of the truth. Your eyes are opened. You know, they hate it out there that there are people that can see, that know what they're doing, that understand their underhanded works of darkness. Listen, we know their names. We know all of their names. And I predict that one fine day, the power of God is going to come down and discomfit them. That last trumpet is going to sound. Amen. The fact is, they want us to be living in what they call a panopticon, where we're constantly being watched, but we don't know who's watching us. We don't know who to fight. We don't know who the enemy is, but we know. Because God revealed it from above. And when an Antichrist rises up and stands up to try to rule this entire world, we will know who it is. Because it's revealed from above. That channel is open. We can understand it. You know, they got this thing going on. You've probably heard me criticize Walmart recently. I'll go beyond criticism. They are Antichrist. They and Procter & Gamble, along with Applied Digital Solutions, they have now got this little device to put in your hand. Who was testing it? How about those RFIDs? Who's testing all those things? Walmart and Procter & Gamble. Walmart is raised up by Satan to bring forth an Antichrist electronic monopoly upon the entire United States and eventually the world. Sam Walton was a 33rd degree Mason and a Scottish Rite. He's dead now, so he knows better. But this company has been raised up to use those electronic devices. They've already been using them. It's in the mainstream media, but people are out to lunch. Their porch light's out, their bread's not done. Huh? They haven't been able to figure this thing out yet. They go in a store, in a Walmart store, and buy something, and this is recorded 700 miles away, visually recorded and digitized. They saw you buy it. You take home your Procter & Gamble product, and there's a little RFID in there, a little secret device under the label. Tear it off, you'll find it. They know what you've got in your home. They know how much you got. They know when you bought it. No privacy anymore. Panopticon, they're watching you all the time. That's why the symbol in the back of your dollar bill is an all-seeing eye, which is raised above a truncated pyramid, with a light shining from behind, backlit, not walking toward the light, but away from it, into the shadows, casting a shadow forward. It's right in the back of your dollar bill. They are watching all the time. And so my feeling is, let's give them something to watch. Let's give them something to listen to. Let's keep singing and talking and preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ and the fact that their system is dying. It's going to go under. Now, LeVon had an article here last night about the value of the stock of Applied Digital Solutions. I believe they're out of Florida. That's where their headquarters is. And their stock, which started out at, was it $12 and something a share, is down to how many cents? 40 cents. Amen. So be it. Praise the Lord. You know why that happens? There are still praying people. There are still people who through prayer and calling upon the Lord can throw a rather large monkey wrench into their gearbox. And it needs to be done. But most people won't even try. Most people wouldn't believe there's any kind of a conspiracy going on. Listen, either there are millions of coincidences or there's a conspiracy. I think it's fairly obvious. Things don't just happen. Why are we in Iraq? Why is our economy falling apart? Why are there budget cuts everywhere while we send countless billions of dollars elsewhere? Why is this? Is somebody that dumb or are they that evil? Really, look at the situation. There are only two possibilities, two only. One, they are either very evil or very ignorant. Why are so many people starving? 13 million children in this country starving to death. More on some of that later. Let's look at the mystery of God and the power of His salvation. This is what brought us out of all of that. You could be out there, and you would be otherwise. And so the Word of God says in Ephesians 1:10 that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye have believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Do we need to receive the Holy Ghost? Oh, yes. That's the seal of God upon you, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Like when you buy a house, you put down earnest money to show you are in earnest about buying it, and you'll pay the rest later when the day comes. That Holy Spirit of promise that we receive because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of His sacrifice, this is the earnest of our inheritance. God made a down payment on your miserable soul. The Lord Himself has invested, not silver and gold, but the blood of Jesus in your being. He's made an investment in you. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory, the price has been paid. His Spirit is the earnest of that inheritance. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love of all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom. Watch this. And revelation in the knowledge of Him. Folks, you can never discover anything on your own. It is, if you forget everything else, remember this. It's revealed, 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 revealed. If I hear something from somebody else, see, when I'm preaching like this, I got the Word of God open. You've got the Word of God open. I'm bringing it forth. You bear witness in the Spirit. I'm not telling you anything. It's God speaking to you. All I'm doing is calling your attention to Scripture by inspiration, but it's not me and it's not anybody. It's the Spirit of God touching all of us together, collectively, bearing witness as to whether or not this is the truth. So it's not a matter of listening to Meyer. Listen to God. I can tell you something and it really doesn't matter. And you could forget it quite easily, but when God speaks to your heart, you're not going to forget it easily. Amen. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. That's why we need to get into the heavenly places. We have access, folks. Access!
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Far above all principality and power, oh, way above the Supreme Court, way above the White House, way above the United Nations, far above all these things, far above all the authorities of the powers of evil. Satan himself, far above that. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Isn't that wonderful? Let's move forward. You're going to get a mega dose of Scripture today. All right? And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That was your condition, dead. Did you ever kick a dead man? I hope not, but if you did, there would be no response. Did you ever wonder about the lack of response out there? Huh? Talk to people, no response. No response. None. Remember when Elijah came to the people of Israel and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions, this fiery prophet who called fire down from heaven at the behest of the Almighty Himself?" But he stood there and he preached to Israel. He had them all gathered together. There were the prophets of the grove and the prophets of Baal, the prophets of the sun god and the moon goddess. The denominations of today would fit right in with that bunch. Well, why are they out there cutting down those Baal bushes and hauling them in a house and decorating them up, huh? Those Baal trees. They say, "Well, we don't worship the tree." Well, they all sit around it, and it offers them gifts. And they sing O Tannenbaum to it, huh? Remember that? Do you think about that? O Tannenbaum, wie treu sind deine Blätter. Du grunst nicht nur am Sommerzeit, dann auch im Winter, wenn es schneit. O Tannenbaum, wie treu sind deine Blätter. Right? O Christmas tree, how true are your needles. Wie treu sind deine Blätter, how true are your leaves. Your needles? Oh, your needles. Do you realize how many people are being needled by those things? Huh? Du grunst nicht nur am Sommerzeit, you're not only green in the summertime, dann auch im Winter, wenn es schneit, but also in the winter when it snows. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree. Huh? They're singing to it. Singing to a tree. And later on, these intelligent people will sit down in front of that dead tree and eat candy out of a sock. And the sun god and the moon goddess, that's what it's all about. And they got a five-pointed star on the top of the tree. Or something that's supposed to be an angel. Listen, if you ever see an angel with two wings, it's not an angel of God. Because the seraphim have six and the cherubim have four. You read about the cherubim in Ezekiel and the seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6. So you got all this nonsense. And what is all this? It's Baal worship. It's worship of the sun god. And it's gotten worse than it's ever been before. And our country is broke, but the people are running down to the store with their plastic and going deeper and deeper into debt because somehow Big Brother is going to help them. After all, is this not his day? And they have everybody in debt. We are a debtor nation. We are a bankrupt nation. We have a system of bankruptcy. Even if you had Federal Reserve notes, you're still never paying anything. Did you ever stop to think about the principles of the Word of God and true payment? To really pay somebody, it has to be silver and gold. Now, if I just briefly, to illustrate this, let's say that I had a young guy come over and shovel my sidewalk. Huh? Shoveled it. Said I'd give him $5 for it. Well, I can't pay him. It's impossible to pay him because I can't pay him in silver and gold. Besides, if you took the silver and gold to bank, they'd go, huh? They wouldn't know what to do with it. I asked him one time, I said, what would I do if I had some silver coins or gold coins? Could I deposit them? They didn't know how to handle it. Well, no, you can't do that here. That's what they told me. I wasn't going to anyway. I just wanted to check them out. But so what I'd have to do is I would take out a $5 FRN note, legal tender, not money, but legal tender, and give it to that young man, and he would excuse the debt. You understand that? He's excusing the debt. Because he can go down to the candy shop and grab a handful of Snickers or whatever he's going to get and lay down that $5, so-called dollar FRN note, and they will excuse the debt of the candy bars he took because they can give it to their supplier who will excuse that debt. And then he can have all these people working for making those Snickers bars or whatever, and those people are excusing the debt because they can take that somewhere else where the debt is excused. That's legal tender. Nothing's ever paid. It's just excuse of debt. Excuse the debt. Excuse the debt. Excuse the debt, but the debt's never paid. That's our system. And in that system is built a mechanism of self-destruction. And it's all going to go down because it's dishonest. And I don't have time to go into that. I would love to if I had time, but I don't have time because I must cover the subject at hand. But that's the way things are working in this world. It's all a mysterious wickedness and a con. But the Lord has given us the ability to know that, to understand that, and to declare that. Jesus said the day would come when those things which are done in secret would be shouted from the rooftops. And those who can hear will hear. Jesus said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Knowing full well that many people do not. So, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, moving ahead, let's go down to... we got to do this. Chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Look out there. Are there children of disobedience in this world? Do you know why? Because there's a spirit working in them. A spirit of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. Remember? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You were just like them. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We can sit together there in worship, in praise, one mind, one accord, all seeking only the one and self same thing, that the will of God be done. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Paul wrote this nearly 2,000 years ago. Here we are, those that are in the ages that were to come. We're not talking about eternity here. Eternity is eternity. You can't measure that. You can't mark that off with time. There is no time in eternity. Ages to come, he's talking about us. He doesn't quit. His miracles are still available. He's still saving souls. The power of Calvary is effective this very hour. For by grace ye are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, out there, it's everything they've been able to do and they've been able to put together in their think tanks, in their conspiratorial chambers, all the things they're doing. But with us, none of what we have is of us. It's all of God, which is why it cannot fail. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So they've got that backwards too. They that claim to be the circumcision are not the circumcision. Okay? Because you have to be in Jesus Christ. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was our very condition. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's why we sing about it. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. Draw nigh unto God. God will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. How do I draw nigh? By the blood of Christ. Think about it. Pray about it. Sing about it. Read about it. Tell others about it. That's how you get close to God. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There is no racism. He brought that wall down. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. The physical descendants of Abraham are one thing, but He opened that door to whoever would have ears to hear. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. So the power of that preaching of peace that came forth from Calvary, and it was a sermon in blood, that sermon has reached out to those far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Remember? Remember the cry that came forth at the preaching of Peter? Men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked in their hearts. They realized they were guilty, blood guilty. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And the Apostle Peter wasn't denying the Lord now. He was filled with the Holy Ghost now. And he stood up and he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. You and I are lively stones in a temple put together by God. You are a part of that building. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now we're going to look at just a few verses in chapter 3 and look at that mystery one more time before we look at Satan's mystery. Have you noticed the song services are a little shorter? You know why? Because I'm reserving more time to preach. Some of these churches you go into, they spend an hour on all this wangy doodle stuff, you know? Nothing ever happens for an hour. And then you get up and you got 15 minutes of something and People are nodding off after a minute or two. But you know, there is such an indifference when people are in idolatry. Remember I start telling you about Elijah? Now, I speak extemporaneously. I never use notes. And so sometimes I have to go back after something. The Lord reminds me. But here is Elijah the prophet saying, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, follow Him." And what did the Scripture say? They answered him not a word. Fiery prophet! I don't know, maybe they didn't even give him a yawn. But they sure didn't answer him. Not a word they did answer him. Deadness! But it took the fire of God to wake him up. After the fire of God came down, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" But the problem is, in these religious institutions, you never have the fire of God come down. It doesn't happen. That's why the whole congregation in some of these places, they get out there and that minister gets out there and he reads out of some perverted text or something, and they all sit out there like a wart on a pickle. They don't make a sound. They're quiet as a Texas oyster. Huh? They answered him not a word, no reaction, nothing. Oh God, let the fire come down. If we want to receive the mystery of God and understand the mystery of God, it must be revealed. It's not discovered, not ever. So we look at the third chapter, just the first few verses before we go over into what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Listen to this. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation," there it is again, I hope I'm getting this across, it comes by revelation. If God doesn't give it to you, I don't care how skilled with words a preacher may be, and I'm certainly not, but I can tell you, you will never get it. You'll never understand. It must be revealed from on high to your heart, from God directly to you. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery," there it is, "as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles," again, revealed, "and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see," all that we can make men see. That's what he preached. He preached, people hear, they repent, discernment's given to them, the mystery's revealed, 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 revealed. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We have a fellowship in a mystery. But not in that it is a mystery, but in that that mystery has been revealed, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. We had to be ready to receive it. We couldn't be made ready until He covered us with His saving blood. Going now to 1 Thessalonians 2 to look at the second kind of mystery. I think we understand the first one, don't we? That He made known that mystery, revealed it, called us unto salvation. But you know what? That mystery that has been made known to us is still a mystery to the world. They don't understand it out there. But you know what's also terrible about that? They don't even understand the mystery they are involved in. We understand the one we're involved in because it was made known, our salvation. They don't understand the mystery they're in because it is a mystery of iniquity, and the strong delusion that is sent among them is sent by God. And when God sends something, there is no, absolutely no remedy. Just as no one will ever escape the fires of hell. That word mystery that appears only in the New Testament is taken from a Greek word pronounced mysterion. Mysterion. Mystery. What's interesting about it, if you look it up, if you can do this if you want to, I believe it's 3466 in the Strong's Concordance, but you'll have to double check that. But if you look it up, mysterion means to shut the mouth by initiation and ritual. Mysterion. To shut the mouth through initiation and ritual. Do you know what the Masons do when they go into the lodge and stand before that worshipful master? And how they promise to always conceal and never reveal the secrets of Freemasonry upon no lesser penalty than having my throat cut from ear to ear. You've seen that done, haven't you? Hoodwinked, wearing an apron, given a secret password, secret handshake, by ritual, by initiation, to shut the mouth. Now I think that when you look at that and look at the Illuministic conspiracy, and then you consider in the days of Elijah, they answered him not a word. Their mouths are shut to the truth. They can't speak it. And they can't even speak against the mystery they're in. They're involved. They have acquiesced before the powers of darkness. Watch this carefully. Now we beseech you, brethren, I'm in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2. This is where we're going to end up today, as far as I know. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the subject here? The coming of Jesus Christ. And by our gathering together unto Him, which tells me that when He comes, we will be gathered. You know what that tells me? If these leaders of religion and government tell you that Jesus came, they might even have a big holograph up there so they have an image come down. Oh, they can stage a lot of special effects with their electronics. And if they tell you He came and He's over here in the Oval Office, or He's over here in the Lincoln bedroom, or over here at Mount Weather, or wherever they say He is, don't believe it. Because we're all going to know it when it happens. As lightning cometh out of one part of heaven and shineth even to the other part of heaven, so shall it be also in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the nations of the earth shall mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. If He comes, you're not going to have some president stand up with a dopey look on his face. Then He came. He's here with me now. The nations will mourn. Every eye is going to see it. The nations are going to mourn. They're out there singing joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. So they're singing a song welcoming the Antichrist, along with all their other carols, while they're trolling the ancient Yuletide carol. You go into stores, hear some of these songs nowadays, they got Silent Night done to rock music. Huh? All abstract, weird, but it's the true nature of it. It's getting bizarre out there, folks, because there is a mystery of iniquity. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit. Remember, when the Lord comes, there's no next day. Folks, it's over. It's that quick. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet sounds, the last one. Last meaning last. There's not any after it. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit. There are spirits that will trouble people. Nor by word. There are words that trouble people. Nor by letter as from us. Notice, not from us, as from us. False letters, false Bibles. As that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Some people say, when's that going to happen? Huh? When is the falling away going to happen? Folks, there has been a falling away. And what is the result ultimately of that falling away? And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Again, he is what? Discovered? Found? Figured out? Revealed. Revealed, revealed, revealed. Satan's mystery is revealed to us. I get letters from people saying, don't talk about numbers and dates and Satan's work and what the devil's doing. And you know what I answer people? I say, by the Lord God, I'll keep doing it until the day of the Lord comes, because I'm going to shout this from the rooftops. You're telling me to shut up. You're telling me you don't want to know. You're telling me you want to live in a comfortable little zone where you don't have to be concerned about what's going on out there. But if you can't apply the Word of God to what's happening around you, it will do you absolutely no good. And I will expose them in their numbers and in their dates and in their activities by the Word of God. And if others would start doing it, I wouldn't have to do it so much. It's pretty hard, having come out of the occult, to not do it. To not see their occult activities and say, hey, I was there. This is what they're doing. Well, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Perdition meaning eternal damnation. The son of eternal damnation. He's the one who's going to rise to power in the world. Now, when will he do it? Watch this. Who opposeth, meaning continues to oppose, and exalteth, continues to exalt, that ETH means continuation, himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But he's revealed to us. They've already got his electronic marking devices out, marking and marketing devices out. Walmart's the big pioneer. Oh, incidentally, Procter & Gamble, you know, they came under fire years ago. People said they were part of the Church of Satan. I don't believe that particular part of it. They were involved. Were they involved with witchcraft and Satanism? Yeah. There's no question about that. I'm standing here, I can tell you that I can't prove to you that they knew what their symbol meant. Are they luministic? Absolutely. But it wasn't, the Church of Satan is very minor, minuscule. Wicca, the Wiccan religions, the witchcraft is widespread. And that's what their symbol represented. A crescent moon with 13 stars? That's a symbol of a witch coven. Whether they knew it or not, they're either Procter & Gamble are incredibly stupid and ignorant, or they're very evil. It's one or the other. It's got to be one or the other. There are no other alternatives. Ignorant or evil. Because that is a witchcraft symbol. I can't prove they knew that. Call it a disclaimer if you want to, but I can't prove it. But I highly suspect, and there's no question in my mind, that that is the case. And that's why they're working with Walmart. Walmart with their little star, five-pointed star, pentacle between the wall and the mart. Well, guess what? The handwriting is on the wall. And we know what's going on. Now watch this. Remember ye not, verse 5, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. What is keeping him from being revealed? Watch, the mystery. See it? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way, And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There it is, folks. What is preventing that world dictator from rising up? What does it say? The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Satan's mystery? Did work? Only he who now letteth will let, meaning allow, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed? What is the one thing that prevents one world government right now? Of course, God controls all things. But within the realm of the operation of this system, what is preventing it? The fact that there are many governments. What will give way to it when these governments crumble and yield their power to the one central power? Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out. What has to be taken out of the way? The individuality of governments. The autonomy of governments. Once that's gone, of necessity one will rise up and seize upon the entire operation. That's what the Bible's telling us right here. Until he be taken out of the way. Who is he? Meaning every individual system of governance that is operating independently. Now, when I stood in the United Nations, I looked at their map, and they had a map back in 1945. There are all kinds of countries not yet in the UN. The blue-colored countries, colored and blue, were in. The red were not. You look at the current map, it's all blue. The whole world, all UN, except for a few islands. And they called that decolonization because they said, well, the UN comes in and helps countries decolonize so that big countries can't control little countries. I said, what happens when they decolonize? They said, well, they become members of the UN. The one big one, that's decolonization? They just became a big colony. They've been taken over. Once all of these have let go, he who now letteth will let. Once they've all let go, then shall that wicked be revealed. And folks, they've all let go except for a few fragments. And I said to this woman, are there any nations that have... I was in the UN when I said it, and this woman was not happy with me, this official. I said, are there any nations, sovereign nations, that have opposed and refused to join the UN? She said, I can't answer that question, it's political. What are they? Are they political at all? I can't ask any pertinent questions, anything pertaining to politics, because it's a political question. They have what they call public policy, they have world policy, and if you violate their policy, then you're out of step with them. And they hate you for it. Folks, there's a mystery of iniquity, things going on behind the scenes. Look at this flu vaccine. Huh? I talked to a woman just the other day. She works over here in Juneau for the county in health care. And they wanted her to get a flu shot. She said, I refuse to take it. She said, if I took that flu shot, you might as well figure in sick time for me. She wouldn't take it. Everybody else took it. Everybody else got sick. She's the only one that stayed healthy. I talked to a woman who said that in the doctor's office where she works, the people come and get these flu shots, flu shots, flu shots. They're back in a couple of days sicker than a dog. Every one of them. Have a little thimerosal injection, liquid mercury, a little antifreeze in it. That's what's in it. Whole bunch of other things. And you know, they're running out. People are so duped by that super duper in the White House. They are so duped and so deceived, they're crying out for more vaccine. They used 80 million doses and they're clamoring for more. Now they're saying younger, healthier people shouldn't take the injection. They should take the nasal spray because their bodies can endure that. If your body's got to endure something, don't take it. Huh? And so they're saying this, they can't understand it. This year they didn't make 80 million doses. They made 83 million. And it's still not enough. And people are getting sick all over Texas and Colorado especially. Epidemics of flu. And they said that the people who ordered it, the individual clinics, doctor's office, all these different places, had their order in by last April. Now, wait a minute. Think. Let the norepinephrine and the serotonin make those brain cells click together. Think. If they had this vaccine in April, they had to first manufacture the germ that they make the vaccine from, and they knew when they were going to release it. They told us when it was going to start. Oh, people, what nobody, they're healthcare people. They're full of love and compassion. Listen, the AMA, the American Money Association, is not full of compassion. They have facilities that they have to fill up, and they've got to make you sick and keep you sick and make sure you're sick, or they're not going to make the money they need to make. Could anybody be so evil? I say it again, as I've said it 1,000 times, they are a dirty bunch. And they're working for the devil, who is a dirty devil. And you are no longer personnel or people. You are human resources to be dispensed with. Go get a job. They'll send you to human resources, not to personnel. And there you will go through an orientation to be aligned with the East. Orientation. Is there a difference between personnel and human resources? Oh, yes, but people don't think. They don't know what words mean anymore. They don't put two and two together. It's a mystery, isn't it? But you know, they say there's something worse coming now. They're letting us know in advance. Got two different stories here, and both from the mainstream news, USA Today, and the other one is from the Philadelphia Inquirer. The warning sirens are screaming. A deadly, contagious strain of flu will emerge possibly soon. That's like saying the new Fords are coming out. Huh? Flu experts say, and the world is not ready to deal with it. We've got one that they don't have a vaccine for. We'll kill them off by the millions. Do you think they don't think that way? Think again. There's a devil behind it. Pandemic influenza occurs periodically. Well, it wreaks chaos in societies. Viruses are highly contagious. Using current technologies, it takes as long as 6 months to create flu vaccines. Because it takes that long to create flu viruses, which they make in the laboratory to make sure you buy all that bottled medicine and get all of that stuff off the shelf there and get stuck in the arm or whatever you're going to do. Because they are dosing the world. There are too many people and they want to eliminate all that they can, especially the weak and the elderly, because they have the mentality that people like that are parasitic and feed off the healthy body. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer. Sieg Heil. And that's the way it is. I'm telling you, there's insanity out there. Rumsfeld was speaking to NATO. Now, I want you to listen to this carefully, because I can hardly believe this. Here is your intelligent Reichsmarschall Rumsfeld speaking to NATO. Now, please, I'm going to read it twice. I want you to listen carefully. Do you remember me ever preaching about the controlling unknown of Adam Weishaupt? Listen to Rumsfeld as he speaks to NATO. The message is that there, this is, I quote now, Reichsmarschall Rumsfeld. The message is that there are no knowns. There are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things we now know we don't know. But There are also unknown unknowns. Things we do not know, we don't know. So when we do the best we can, and we pull all this information together, and we then say, well, that's basically what we see as the situation, that is really only the known knowns and the known unknowns. And each year we discover a few more of those unknown unknowns. Now, what did you get out of that? What did NATO get out of that? I got to read it again. The message is that there are no knowns. There are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things we now know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. Things we do not know, we don't know. So when we do the best we can and we pull all this information together and we then say, well, that's basically what we see as the situation, that is really only the known knowns and the known unknowns. And each year we discover a few more of those unknown unknowns, he said. All right? He ended the whole speech by saying this. There is another way to phrase that. We can only hope. There is another way to phrase that. And that is that the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. He said there is another way to phrase that. And that is the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. This guy's running our military? He's sending our boys over there? I'll tell you something. Our president and Rumsfeld and Reichsführer Ridge and all these others are all the same category. Arrogant, apathetic, self-willed, proud, boastful, buffoons. They are working Satan's mystery. And I think I'm being rather kind. Now, here's something you won't read in the United States anywhere. I'll try it without these reading glasses. The Sunday Mirror, United Kingdom, England, London. Remember the president was there visiting? Says the Queen is furious with President George W. Bush after his state visit caused thousands of pounds of damage to her gardens at Buckingham Palace. Royal officials are now in touch with the Queen's insurers and Prime Minister Tony Blair, who is a New Age witch, by the way, to find out who will pick up the massive repair bill. Listen, our news didn't touch this anywhere. Palace staff said they had never seen the Queen so angry as when she saw how perfectly maintained lawns had been churned up after being turned into heliopads with three giant H landing marks for Bush's visit. The rotors of the President's Marine Force One helicopter and two support Black Hawks damaged trees and shrubs that had survived since Queen Victoria's reign. And Bush's army of clod-hopping security servicemen, and I'm reading just like it's written here, out in the newspaper, trampled more precious and exotic plants. The Queen's own flock of flamingos, which security staff insisted should be moved in case they flew into the helicopter rotors, are thought to be so traumatized after being taken to a place of safety that they might never return home. The historic fabric of the palace was also damaged as high-tech links were fitted for the U.S. leader and his entourage during the three-day stay with the Queen. The palace head gardener, Mark Lane, was reported to be in tears when he saw the scale of the damage. The Queen has every right to be insulted at the way she has been treated by Bush, said a palace insider. The repairs will cost tens of thousands of pounds, but the damage to the historic and rare plants will be immense. They are still taking an inventory. The lawns are used for royal garden parties and are beautifully kept, but 30,000 visitors did not do as much damage as the Americans did in 3 days. Their security people and support staff trampled all over the place and left an absolute mess. It is particularly sad because the Queen Mother loved to wander in the garden, just as the Queen and Prince Charles do now. Some of the roses, flowers, and shrubs damaged are thought to be rare varieties named after members of the royal family and planted by the Queen Mother and Queen. Other royals had their own favorite parts of the garden as children, and some of the areas have been damaged. The Queen's insurers have told her she is covered for statues, garden furniture, and plants she personally owns. But the bill for repairing damage to the lawns and structure of the palace will probably have to be picked up by the government. The Americans made alterations to accommodate specialized equipment. The massive gadgetry meant the royals couldn't get a decent TV picture during the visit. Interesting story, isn't it? Bush goes over there for a short visit, and I'm telling you, that queen was sizzling like a hot hamburger. She was mad. I mean, here's her beautiful flamingos, and they had to get them out because it's big helicopters. Can you imagine Bush and all these jackbooted thugs coming down and whoom, just descending on this thing like a bunch of low-life thugs and just tearing everything apart? He went to the Philippines, to Manila, and destroyed the shanty towns. Now he comes over here and mashes Buckingham Palace with his helicopters. And they trample all over everything. You know, he wouldn't have needed all of that. He could have gone there in a car. But he's Bush. Huh? He's getting more and more like the governor Schwarzenegger all the time. Arnold went to visit him and came back with a skull and bones ring in his hand, and I got a picture of it. Watch Schwarzenegger. People think he's some kind of a God-man. Mr. Universe, Mr. Muscle. These people don't care about anybody. They're going to come in with their helicopters, they're going to come in with their thugs, they're going to come in and make a big display. Here I am! Hear me roar! And you're going to do what they say? That's the mentality. But I see all of this kind of thing. This killing of people with vaccines and medicine. This arrogant attitude. The Walmart, Procter & Gamble, and other companies are in on it too. With their RFIDs that they're now putting in people's hands. And if somebody steals the information and you have one of those, you have to go to the doctor and get it out, because if they got that info and they can program it, they can go and steal everything you've got. And the commercials on television where people go in to a supermarket and they buy all kinds of things. They don't buy it. They actually throw it in their cart and walk out. Some of them stuff it in their jackets in this commercial. And then there's a cop standing and says, wait a minute, you forgot something. Gives him his receipt. Because the scanners picked up everything he had on him. And he knew it. He didn't need to stop at a checkout. I understand there's an unmanned checkout at the Shopko store here in town. It's moving fast, folks. Fast, fast, fast. We're at that time. We're in that time. I think what we're going to do right now is pray, because we need to make contact with heaven. Folks, there are two mysteries. The Lord revealed His mystery to us, allowing us to see the world's mystery, Satan's mystery, and to understand it. Those still out there don't understand God's mystery. It's a mystery to them. How you and I can serve Him, how you and I have changed, it's a mystery to them. And they're also walking in the darkness of their own satanic mystery and are being led down the path to hell. And all that they manifest that's supposed to be joy isn't joy at all. Because Jesus is the only one who can give you peace. He said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, but my peace I leave with you. Isn't it a relief to not have to be involved in that? Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast saved us and rescued us so we don't have to be involved in all the evils of this world. But Thou hast brought us in to shine Thy light upon us. Now I pray that Thou wouldst bless this congregation, make us strong in the Spirit, give us great resolve, Help us, O Lord, to stand steadfastly, O Lord, and without fear as we oppose the powers of darkness. Guide us and direct us, Lord Jesus, in thy name, and let thy will be done. Let the evil one have no power against us and over us, but grant us victory in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.